Good afternoon, everybody. Good to see you all. It's true, we did go down to Africa, and was obviously we took Max and Tara with us. We took Brian with us. We took a number of other people with us down. And we did get back safely, although we have a funny story. Veronica's dad is a school teacher, and while we were away, this whole Ebola thing was sort of blowing up. And I think it was just before the feast where the first case of Ebola had been found in Dallas. So Veronica's dad, again, he's a professor up in Canada. He has a daughter that lives in Dallas, Veronica. And now he's traveling to Africa. So his students, while he was away, thought that this was high risk, apparently. So when he got back after being in Africa for 2 weeks, he was put into quarantine. at the school. But he said, this was the most ridiculous thing ever because I'm sitting in my office and people are allowed to come in and out of my office, but he wasn't allowed to leave. So, funny story. So, I don't know about you, but for me, personally, this time of year can be a little bit depressing. We just spoke about the feast, and of course the feast has come and gone. It's hard to believe that it's already been a month since it's over. But some of us are probably still trying to recover from what they call the post-feast blues. It's actually quite funny because every now and again I'll find myself sort of drift off and wondering, and there I am clicking through pictures of the feast, reminiscing, pretty sad. And on top of that, summer is coming to an end, or has come to an end. Gone are those long, hot, sunny days. And here we are in the cold grips of a Texas winter, and some of us have to share the fireplace with our dog. And then, of course, to make matters even worse, daylight savings time has come to an end as well, which means that it gets darker earlier. And probably most of us here are driving home when it's already pitch black every single day. Not good for the golf game, by the way. Now, some of you may like or even love these things, and that's fine. But for me personally, all these things together make for a pretty depressing, even a pretty sad time of year. I can confidently say that this time of year is my least favorite. It's my least favorite. That is until Thanksgiving. Until Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Day for me seems to change everything. You see, for me, as someone that didn't grow up celebrating Thanksgiving, you know, every now and again, my mom would come home from work on a random Thursday night and there'd be a turkey on the table. Didn't quite get it. So we didn't really celebrate Thanksgiving. But for someone who grew up not doing that, it's really one of those great American traditions that I've come to like, come to love even. And I'm assuming that most people here feel the same way, and rightfully so. After all, for many of us, Thanksgiving Day is the first time since the feast that we actually get some time off. And if your jobs are anything like mine, those after being away for a couple of weeks, it's hectic and even crazy as soon as you get back from the feast. So those couple of days off are much appreciated. Of course, we get to spend some time off with our family and our friends and those closest to us. And we generally have a series of amazing meals. And most importantly, we have an opportunity, another opportunity, to ponder on and express those things for which we are truly grateful. And in a way that I can't really describe, it even seems to make the cold weather a little bit more tolerable. So I think we can agree that the Thanksgiving tradition really is a special time. It really is one of those great American traditions. Now, of course, Thanksgiving is a man-made tradition. It is a man-made day. We know that it's not one of God's holy days, not one of those days that were ordained by God. Those are very well documented in the scriptures, those days which we are commanded to observe. It is a man-made day, a man-made tradition. But unlike other man-made days, the church generally doesn't have any issues with the celebration of Thanksgiving. Yes, it may be a little bit commercial, which is probably the worst thing you could say about it. But aside from that, I don't think the church has any issues with the origins or the intent of Thanksgiving. It's not rooted in any pagan practices or things of that nature, like Christmas, for instance, or Easter, or even Halloween. Instead, the church sees Thanksgiving as a celebration of praise and thanksgiving and honor to God for everything that He has done for this great country. And I agree with that 100%. You see, while the observance of Thanksgiving Day might not be commanded, the act of giving thanks absolutely is. Turn with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. And yet we're commanded to do something which is kind of interesting. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. We're told to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I checked the translation of that word everything, and it means what it says it means. It means always, all, every, any. It's a really holistic, complete word. It really means everything. So giving thanks certainly is something that is commanded by God. And here we're commanded that we need to give thanks continually. Always. And not just one day a year. But why? Why? Why is it so important that we are commanded to do it at all times? Well, what I'd like to do today is take a closer look at the subject of Thanksgiving. And what I'd like to do is by asking that exact question. Why is giving thanks so important to God that He commands us to do it at all times? At all times. And we'll tackle this question by looking at three points. And when we're done, hopefully we'll all have a greater appreciation, not just for the day of Thanksgiving, but also for the giving of thanks and how we're commanded to do it continually. Now, before we begin, I think it needs to be stated that there is a difference between being thankful and giving thanks. There is a difference. And that difference essentially is being thankful is an attitude. It's a mindset. It's the mindset of gratitude, whereas the giving of thanks is an outward expression of that gratitude. Now, of course, they're both good. There is absolutely nothing wrong with either one of them. Having a thankful heart is a great thing. But giving thanks is better. It's better. You see, giving thanks is the outward expression of being thankful. It's gratitude in action, so to speak. Now, this is actually something that I learned from Mr. Hooser this week, so I would just like to say thank you, Mr. Hooser, and give you thanks for that. So let's keep this in mind, because the vast majority of scriptures that we will look at today in the Bible, and the vast majority of scriptures that deal with this subject of giving thanks, deals with exactly that, the giving of thanks, as opposed to just merely being thankful. So keep that in mind, because that's going to be the focus for the rest of our message. All right, so point number one, giving thanks is a fundamental part of worship. Giving thanks is a fundamental part of worship. Now, of course, there are many ways that we can worship God. We can worship Him through song, as we've done, you know, multiple times today already, and we do every single service. We can worship Him through praise. We can worship Him through prayer. We can worship Him through fearing His name and in our conduct. So there are multiple ways by which we can worship God. However, I'd like to contend that none of these would be true worship unless they were accompanied by genuine thanksgiving. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, and we're going to look at verse 2. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. So think about the language in the scripture here. Just try and process the language. Here it's using words and language such as enter into His gates or enter into His courts. Basically what the scripture is doing is it's giving us instruction on how to approach God, how to come into His very presence. That's what the Scripture is telling us. Our mere approach to God in worship needs to be done first and foremost with thanksgiving. And the same Scripture tells us why. I deliberately skipped over verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So God is the sovereign being that created all things. We know this. He's the God that changes the time and the seasons, as Daniel says. He's the God that holds our very breath in His hands, as is mentioned in the book of Job. And He's the God that has made this nation, the United States of America, so rich and so prosperous. He's the reason. We need to be ever mindful of His sovereignty and everything that He and His Son Jesus Christ have done for us, both individually at an individual level and a collective level. So this needs to be the tone with which we approach God. Our very approach into God's presence needs to be with thanksgiving. So what exactly does that look like? Well, if you look at even the Lord's Prayer, there is some of that in there. But turn with me quickly, please, to 1 Chronicles. Turn with me, please, to 1 Chronicles. You know, this is an interesting thing. You know, every time we pray, hopefully every time we pray, one of the very first things that we do is thank God. We glorify His name. And here in 1 Chronicles, verse 29... this is a great example how King David would approach God. He would approach God with overflowing and abundant thanksgiving. Verse 10, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. Therefore, David blessed the Lord God before all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yes, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory." You see what he's doing? He's building God up. He's giving him the credit for what he deserves. "The victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." Again, just notice how David comes before God with this kind of attitude. Before he even says a word about anything else, he builds God up and he puts God where he belongs, rightfully so, as God. And then what does he say? Look, verse 13. "Now therefore," in other words, as a result of these things, he recognizes God's sovereignty and all the things that God has done. "Now therefore, we thank you." There's David there expressing thanksgiving. "We thank you." David here acknowledges God's power and sovereignty by thanking him. Now, this isn't just an ordinary thank you. Okay, so it's happened to all of us where we're stuck in traffic and have our turn signal on and we're trying to get in and the person in front of us lets us in. "Oh, thanks, mate." That's not the kind of thank you that David is giving God over here. David's thank you here is a thank you that's deeply rooted in humility and gratitude. It's a thank you that's rooted in acknowledgement that everything that David has, and by extension, everything that the nation of Israel had, was a direct result of God's mercy and God's gracious. This is an outstanding example of how to approach and how to worship God. You see, when we approach God this way, we're acknowledging His sovereignty, His majesty, and our utter dependence on Him. And it's with that attitude, with that mindset, that again should form the very core of our worship. I was reading an article this week, and very interesting, the author put it like this. He said, "The single greatest act of worship we can render to God is to give Him thanks." The single greatest act of worship we can render to God is to give Him thanks. I found that very interesting. You know, it's the epitome of worship because through gratitude, through the expressing of thanks, we affirm God as the ultimate source of everything that we have, both good, the blessings, and some of the trials. We acknowledge that God is there and that He's in control. And we offer our, we acknowledge our humble acceptance of both. So that's the first point. The first point is that thanksgiving is the core of worship. It's a fundamental part of worship. All right, so let's move on to the second point. Point number two, giving thanks gives us joy. How many of you have heard that? Have you heard that? Nobody? One person? Two? Thank you, Mrs. Huser. So over the past number of years, this exact subject actually has been studied numerous times. And it seems like more and more people are studying this thing. A lot of researchers are getting involved with this, psychologists. A whole bunch of people are trying to figure out, what makes people happy? And what they're starting to do now is they're starting to make this connection between giving thanks, being grateful, gratitude, and happiness. So there's a science behind this. And anyway, I was doing some research and I came across a number of different studies. And any one of you can do this if you, you know, have the internet and a browser. You can go and research this on your own. But I came across two that I thought were particularly interesting. In the first study, one group of participants were asked to physically list down five different things that they were grateful for. And there were two groups. So there was that group of people. And then there was another group of people where they were told to physically list down the things that in their mind were hassles or things that they had to complain about. Now, they did this for a number of days. And those expressing interesting results, those expressing gratitude, so those people that were writing down the things they were thankful for, were not only happier and more optimistic, they reported fewer physical symptoms such as headache, cough, nausea, or acne. Whereas those people who were asked to write down all the hassles, they experienced quite the opposite, an increased number of those sort of symptoms. The study concluded by saying that the people who consistently express their gratitude are happier, more energetic, more hopeful, more helpful, more emphatic, more spiritual, more forgiving, and less materialistic. They also went on to say that these people who express their gratitude are generally less likely to be depressed, anxious, envious, lonely, neurotic, or sick. Very interesting. Another study was a little bit bigger. It was done on a slightly larger scale. And it was a leading researcher in this field. And what he did is he tested the impact of various positive psychology interventions on about 420 people. And then each compared with a control assignment of writing down childhood memories. So essentially what they did is they said, okay, here's 400 people, put them in a room, and every week they gave these people activities to do. So they would give them various different activities, and then at the end of the activities, they would ask them to start writing down childhood memories or memories of theirs. So that's what they did. When the week's activity was to write and personally deliver a letter of gratitude to someone in their life that they think hadn't really received the thanks that they thought they deserved in a particular situation. That was their exercise. When they did that, the participants immediately exhibited a huge increase in happiness scores. Huge increase. The impact of that exercise, of expressing gratitude, was greater than any other of the exercises that they had done over a 3-month period. Now, I've only just given an example of two studies, but again, multiple studies out there. Go check it out for yourself. It's very interesting. But the thing that I found most interesting about this is that all these guys, all these authors, all these researchers came to the conclusion that humans cannot be truly happy unless they're truly grateful and unless they express that. This is a conclusion that, for most part, secular, non-religious people came to. Very interesting. What's interesting about this, though, is that the Bible seems to strongly support this, too. There's a number of different scriptures in the Bible where giving thanks and being happy or being joyful are used hand in hand. They're almost inseparable. Wherever one pops up, the other one pops up. Wherever joyful pops up, thanksgiving pops up. Wherever thanksgiving pops up, being joyful or rejoicing pops up. And what I'd like to do is just quickly take a look at a couple of examples of where this happens. So don't need to turn here because we've already turned here today, but Psalm 100 verse 2, we looked at the scripture earlier. I'll just read it for you. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Now, with the exception of maybe a few country songs, most people don't go out in song when they're sad or when they're down. Most people, singing is a joyful thing. It's a happy thing. It's an uplifting thing. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We read this earlier. So here you see that being joyful and singing and happy and giving thanks go hand in hand. There's another one. Please turn with me to Psalm 9. Psalm 9 verse 1. Psalm 9 verse 1. I will give thanks. Now, in some of your Bibles, the word you may see there is praise. Now, one thing that I learned this week as well is that the word praise can also be translated as thanks, but a very special thanks, a very outgoing thanks, particularly reserved for a deity, a god or a king or things of that nature. Obviously, in this case, it's for God. So I will give thanks or praise to you, O God, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. So you can start seeing how giving thanks and being joyful are listed side by side. They pop up together often, a lot of the time. And again, there are many, many additional scriptures that you can go and look at if this is a personal study that you want to do in your own time. And I would encourage it. It was a lot of fun to go through these. So again, these are just a few. Now, the majority of these scriptures deal with giving thanks to God. Of course. Rightfully so. But it is also true, or the same is true, in terms of giving thanks and being joyful as it applies to other people. It has the same effect. Whether we give thanks to God or whether we express gratitude to people, it brings us joy. And you know, I've been thinking about this over the last few days quite a lot. And this whole connection between thanksgiving and joy, you know what I personally found fascinating about it? Is just how giving and loving God is. Think about it for a second. Just think about it. He created all things. He's given us more than any of us could possibly need or want. Family, friends, marriage, delicious food, this gorgeous planet, laughter. Everything that we have. And all that he asks is that we appreciate it, we keep his commandments. And then on top of it, on top of everything else that is given to us, when we give him the thanks and when we turn around and show him the gratitude that he obviously undoubtedly deserves for everything that he's given to us, what does he do? He turns around and blesses us even more. He gives us even more. And he fills our heart with joy. I think this speaks volumes about the character of God. What an incredibly giving, loving, and merciful God we have. So that's the second point. Move on to the third point. Point number three, ingratitude is sin. I read a quote this week which I thought I would share with you. An ungrateful man is like a pig under a tree eating acorns, but never looking up to see where they come from. Now, some people may not view or see ingratitude as a sin, but it is. In fact, it's probably one of the most prevalent or one of the most common sins that there is, and it's detested by God. Let's have a look quickly at Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. For since the, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. Nor were thankful, but became futile in their own thoughts. Here Paul even refers to those who are unthankful as ungodly and unrighteous. As we mentioned earlier, you know, God has given us every reason in the world to be thankful and to give Him thanks. He's even given us, He's given us more than we could possibly ever need, and so much more. So when we don't give Him thanks, or even worse, when we show ingratitude, God takes that pretty seriously. Turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, verse 6. Deuteronomy 8, verse 6. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. God was obviously talking about the nation of Israel. Sounds a lot like the United States of America. Just like ancient Israel, you know, this nation, the U.S., was blessed with phenomenal abundance. It truly is a land in which we lack nothing. Verse 10, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Verse 11, and here comes the warning, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments. Beware that you do not forget. Don't forget where these things came from. Here God makes a direct connection between ingratitude and sin. Verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then you shall say, verse 17, in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Verse 19, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify you this day that you shall surely die. Or as John said earlier, you shall die. As the nations which the Lord God destroys before you, so shall you die, because you will not be obedient to the voice of your Lord your God. So this is a very stern warning to the nation of Israel, and of course, by extension, to the United States, and to modern day Israel. Failing to remember God, failing to give Him the thanks and the credit and the praise that He, for all the things that He has blessed us with, comes with serious consequence. Now, unfortunately, today we live in a society that for the most part is pretty ungrateful. It's a pretty ungrateful society. You know, in a recent study that was done, I know you guys are thinking I look at a lot of studies. I do. Another one that was done, researchers conducted a survey where they polled a number of different employees, and they asked them one question. What's the number one thing that you wish that your employer or your boss would do differently? What's the number one thing? Can you guess what you think what the answer was? 80% of people surveyed said that the number one thing that they wish their boss did differently or more of was just say thank you. Just say thank you. Just express their gratitude. Just to show that what everyone is doing at work is appreciated. That's the number one thing. 80%. To put that into perspective for you, 8% of people said that they wish they got more money. To me, I found that fascinating. Unfortunately, that's the society that we live in. And it was prophesied to be this way. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. You know, one author made an interesting observation. He suggested that it was quite possible that ingratitude was the original sin. In other words, the first little sin of Lucifer that caused him to ultimately try and take over God's throne was ingratitude. Now, I don't know if this is true or not. Clearly, and this is biblical, clearly pride had a large part to play in that. But if you think about it, so did ingratitude. So which one came first? It's just interesting to think about. And I think one thing we can all agree on is that ingratitude has a huge part to play in a number of the issues that our society today faces. It's clearly a condition of a source of contention in the workplace, as we heard earlier. As we read, what about certain issues such as broken marriages? What about sour relationships between friends or brothers or sisters? What about theft? What about violence? Depression? Suicide? I think if we really start to break these issues down, I think we would start to see that ingratitude has a huge part to play in a number of these things. It's sad. Ingratitude is a huge problem in our society today. You know, it's a gateway sin, in a sense, that if not quickly identified and put into check, it can lead to some terrible, long-lasting consequences. And it's no wonder, when you start looking at it like that, it's no wonder that the Bible carries with it a staunch, stern warning for those who are unthankful. So that's the third point. You know, earlier we asked the question, why is giving thanks to God so important that we're commanded to do it continually, in everything? And to answer this, we looked at three points. Number one, giving thanks is a fundamental part of worship. Giving thanks is the single greatest act of worship that we can render to our God. Point number two, thanksgiving brings us joy. And who doesn't want joy? Being grateful and expressing gratitude through thanksgiving fills our heart with happiness. And point number three, ingratitude, that is failing to be grateful and failing to give thanks, is sin. It's one of the most common sins in society, often with terrible consequence. You know, this past weekend, Veronica and I were in Austin where we met one of my good friends from South Africa. And this was his first time in the United States. He is about 40 years old or so. And this is the first time that he's ever been to the U.S. And during dinner one night, we were talking, and he could not stop talking about how great this country was. He couldn't stop telling me about how richly blessed the United States was. You know, he actually lives in Cape Town, in South Africa, which personally I think is one of the most beautiful places in the world. And I turned around and I asked him, I said, so would you leave Cape Town to come to the States? And without missing a beat, he turned around and said, absolutely, they can keep it all. They can keep the mountain, they can keep the ocean, they can keep everything. I would drop everything to come and live here. Because he recognized what a blessed nation this was. And I couldn't agree more with him. This truly is a good land, this United States of America. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land in which we eat bread without scarcity. And a land in which we lack nothing. God truly has blessed this land. And given that, it's only appropriate that the United States of America has a day of thanksgiving. Because they have a lot. We have a lot. to be thankful for. And in the church, we have even more to be thankful for. We have even more reason to give thanks. So let's remember these blessings always, both the physical and the spiritual, and let us give thanks to our God in everything.